Wednesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday,
that's right. We're right here at Truck Passes Gallery. Must be 4:05, 4:06 in the afternoon. A little rain out there, but hey, I have the state treasurer for the state of South Carolina, Curtis Loftus, on the phone with us today. How you doing today, Curtis?
I'm fine, darling. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you down in sunny Columbia?
I am. It's not raining here yet. Just been in an investment committee meeting all day long. Just got out, and I'm glad to be out, by the way.
Okay, so you're glad to be out of those meetings.
Yeah. So I'm back in my office, and I'm glad to talk to you. And, of course, you know how much I love the Savannah River Valley, so it's always good to talk to folks in Greenwood.
Absolutely. Now, Curtis, I understand you just saved the taxpayers of South Carolina a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I didn't actually do it. These folks work for me at the treasurer's office. People love to talk about state employees, but I tell you, I've got 60 good ones. They do great work. Now, they did need leadership. That's why I ran for treasurer and got rid of the old guy. But they do excellent work. We did we refunded debt. You know, it's just like if you went to refinance your house.
Mm-hmm.
We refunded the state debt, and we saved $48 million last week. If you add that to the refunding we had before, that's $72 million that the taxpayers don't have to come up with. So, you know, that builds several high schools, that builds roads and bridges. So we're excited about that, and we want to keep working to save money that way.
Well, absolutely. We need to be fiscally responsible at every turn we can be. Now, I also understand that you were speaking at you spoke on state financial security. Was that yesterday?
Gosh, I've given so many speeches, I don't even know. I've been doing a lot.
Well, you were doing for a tea party, I understand.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Talking about transparency and accountability. You know, I've been doing a fair amount of speeches outside of South Carolina, not for politics, but because we're trying to enforce transparency and accountability on Wall Street. You know, a lot of the people riding around Greenwood right now today have money market funds.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, they get their money market information, and they can't read it. They don't understand it. I'm the same way. I've asked hundreds of people the last few weeks. And these are the types of things that disadvantage the average investor. You know, a lot of people now, more people than not, have investments of that type. They may not have millions of dollars in it, but they have money, and it's important to them. So they need to understand it. Because if you don't understand it, you don't make the right decisions. So we've been trying to enforce that on Wall Street at the really high level. You know, we have a $25 billion portfolio in South Carolina. And across the country, these plans all add up to about $1 trillion. So we're the largest consumer in Wall Street. And so we should be dictating the terms. We shouldn't be just some passive buyer. So I've spearheaded that movement. I'm real happy about it. We've got some good progress in that. The New York Times is going to have a story on me this Sunday, the front page of the business section. And it's all about how, you know, not only will this transparency help the big pension plans, but it's going to help people like Ann Eller manage all of her money.
So, but this is the New York Times, right, Curtis?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
So this is it's a national movement, you know.
I was just curious, you know, that New York Times can kind of be a little slanted sometimes, Curtis.
Oh, well, of course.
They didn't write a very promising article about Greenwood, South Carolina.
That's it. I'll mention you. How about that? You know, it's funny because if you think about it, the people who are listening to you right now in Greenwood, they're shareholders. They've been paying taxes all these years, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't feel like they get very much for their taxes. So I'm the treasurer. So I look at that and say, I'm a small business guy. I got rental property around. I've been paying a lot of taxes. How do I give them back money? How do I make a return on their investment? Because your tax dollars are just that. So we've rebid out the state's financial services. Like, we saved $1 million a year on the banking services. Hadn't been put out for bid in 13 years. You're a small business person. You look at your banking contracts regularly. We banked $34 billion last year, and we're not watching ours. So I've acted like I'm Ann Eller. I'm acting like I'm Bob's plumber from Greenwood or, you know, the electrical guy. I'm rebidding out every single service, and we're saving money, and we're getting better service back to the taxpayer.
Well, that has a lot to do with the times, though, doesn't it, Curtis? I think a lot more places are becoming more customer service oriented if you speak up.
Well, and now, you know, times aren't, they aren't as bad as they were, but they aren't great. So we have a lot of money, and we need to use that as clout. So we go to the big banks, we go to the big investment houses, we go to the big custodial banks, and say, you know, we got a lot of money. You're making money off us. We need help. What haunts me is that South Carolina in the 2000 census was 39th in per capita income. In the 2010 census, we were 46. We're slipping backwards. We're not going forwards. And so those of us in Columbia who work in government, those of us who represent y'all, we got to do a better job. And so this is just how I do my part.
Well, I think that's very interesting that we are actually looking at these things. I think it is sad that we are now 42 versus 39. That's kind of scary out there.
Yeah, 46, so that's not good.
46, excuse
me. Now, I can manage all the money and the finances because I was elected by the people of this state, and so I've got, you know, really clear authority over those. Where it gets iffy is like when the Department of Transportation or the South Carolina Investment Commission. I don't always have statutory authority there. In fact, most of the time, I don't have it. So what I'm trying to do is go talk to them, and if they will do well, then that's the end of it. We make these changes, and we encourage them to do better, and they do, and that saves the taxpayers money. But if they don't do well, and if they refuse to talk to us, and if they stonewall us, then we go to the newspaper, and I go out and give speeches about them. You know, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Transportation has reorganized the way it does business completely because we got after them last year when we found out they had a $35 million hole in their budget. You know, they had bad cash flow. So we got after them. They completely changed the way they do business now. And so that was a success. You know, it's not the kind of thing the average person is right around town thinking about, but I know that in the future we're going to build more roads and more bridges and more infrastructure because we're better at managing our money at the Department of Transportation. So that's a big win. It's going to save the taxpayers. And I just keep looking for things just like that. You know the old saying, Johnny One Note? Well, that's me. All I want to do is find problems and fix them.
Well, Curtis, you know, I remember the last time we talked, I thought you were in favor of the Budget and Control Board going away in the Department of Administration. But it seems like there's some issues that have come up that have changed your feelings about it.
Well, no, I am in favor of what we originally campaigned on. The Budget Control Board is an unwieldy situation. You know, it is five members, and that's called the Budget Control Board, but those five people actually run an agency, which is also called the Budget Control Board. And it's a significant multi-billion dollar agency. It's got, I think, 1,400 employees. It runs everything from building maintenance, fleet management. It runs insurance programs for the state. It runs health care. It runs computer and technology. I mean, it runs all kinds of stuff. So the thought was, how do you make that more accountable? How do we say, if you're the business guy riding around in your car in Greenwood, how do you make state government more accountable? So the thought was, a lot of that stuff would go to a newly created Department of Administration. Now what's happened is, we can't get it over there. The bill is not a good bill. It's pretty good when it deals with the more simple things like cars and buildings and computers and state employees and stuff. That's all pretty straightforward, and we can get that over there. The problem is when you deal with complex issues like pensions and long-term debt and finance. So,
and the reason you're not for that is because?
Well, I would be for that, but we've got to amend the bill. The bill is not good on those areas. So what I want to do is I'd like to say, let's go ahead and send all the other stuff over there. That's about 80% of the Budget Control Board. Let's send that over to Nikki Haley right now. She'll run that. She'll do a good job. And next year, she'll be able to come back to the General Assembly and say, look, you guys gave me this, and look how well we did. And that's important. Now, these other things, we have to study them. You know, it's, a pension plan has a time horizon of 30 to 40 years. So it's not wise, I don't think, it's not wise to have a person who's only in office 4 years making those decisions. Because what happens is, they can make a decision now, just like Barack Obama does. He makes decisions now that we don't have to pay for a decade or two or three. He gets the credit now. He buys the votes now. And then our grandkids pay the bill. And so what we want to find out is how do we manage the pensions and other long-term financial obligations without having some unwieldy situation and without having just one person in charge. And so that's the rub. And my thought is that if we're not careful, we're not going to get any of it done. No, last year we didn't get pension reform, and we didn't get the Department of Administration. We should have. Should have gotten both last year. I'm afraid this year we're going to be here in 6 or 8 weeks when the session's over, and we'll say we didn't get either one of them. So the reason I got involved is I think we need to have a Department of Administration. I think we need it now. I think we need to get 80% of what we can get over there. That would be a huge victory. And then the other 20%, we worry about it next year.
So how would you deal with that 20% in the meantime?
Well, just keep that part of it. So the board would go from being, say, 1,400 employees to 50 employees, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It would go from having a budget of a billion or something dollars to, you know, a tenth of that. Right. I don't know those numbers offhand. But what I'm saying is you significantly shrink it down to it's just real small, only does a couple things, and then you've got a whole year to look at it and say, now what's smart? You know, things like pensions, they're really complex. What happens is if you start messing with these pension plans, you automatically get sued. And in fact, we get sued so often, they don't go to regular court. They get automatically taken to the Supreme Court of the state. And then whatever the judgment is, it could be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And we've already had those settlements. There are several lawyers in town who are very, very wealthy on the backs of that pension plan and the changes we try to make. So we don't need to be in a hurry. You know, the average pension life cycle they call the pension plan time horizon is between 30 and 40 years. So if we don't fix that this year, we're okay, but we get the other 80% out and get it working.
Well, what about this public employee benefits agency?
Well, I think that's part of the problem. It's poorly done. You're going to have 9 people who are not accountable. Well, right now you only have 5 people on the board, and those 5 people were elected. So we're going to go to a 9-person board where nobody's elected. So see that, you know, that's not more accountable. That's less accountable.
It sounds like the czar system that we have up there in Washington D.C.
It does, and you know, we all have. You know, it's kind of like I hadn't seen your backyard, but if you wanted to redo your backyard, I bet you 80% of that would be. You know, if you came home on vacation and had to clean up your yard and had been there in 6 months, 80% of it would be easy. You know, get on the riding lawnmower, you know, rake it out, up that kind of stuff. But you're going to have to call some specialists in to prune the shrubs back and maybe fix the fountain that froze. I mean, you know, see what I'm saying? So let's get the stuff we can get done. Let's be done with that. And then we've got a clean slate, and everybody can look at just these 1 or 2 issues. Right now, there are probably, I don't know, 30 programs, more or less, in this. And so everybody's all over the map, and people aren't focused. And I'm just am determined that these financial issues that require the taxpayers of South Carolina to pay the bill, we should treat them specially. We should treat them with care. We should treat them with transparency so everybody can see it. You know, when I put out my plan a week or so ago, the House of Representatives asked me for a plan. I put it out. We put it in writing with a diagram. We didn't want people, I mean, with the footnotes that told everybody exactly what we wanted. We didn't want to be somebody out there just saying, kill the Budget Control Board or do this or do that. We wanted to have it in writing so that smart people who were concerned could read that and understand exactly what we did.
Well, I know this is a pet issue of Governor Haley. What is she saying about all this, Curtis?
Well, she's not very happy with the bill either. I haven't talked to her personally, but she's been talking to Speaker Harrell, and I've been talking to Speaker Harrell. And so, I was going to find out what was up this morning, but I've been in this South Carolina Investment Commission. That's that commission that has $25 billion of state money, and we invest that money. And that's what we've been doing all day long, was looking at investments. I haven't really found out what's happened today, but I would love to see her office and my office work together on these. You know, this is just important stuff. Don't you think, Ann, that our political life now has all become about a bumper sticker? I mean, if it's in Washington or if it's in Columbia, say 3 or 4 words and repeat it over and over and people agree, like kill the Budget Control Board. Well, what does that mean? And you can kill the board, but you still have those functions. And you got to make sure those functions work well. And it's just a lot of money. It's billions and billions of dollars, and the taxpayer is responsible. And I'm just not going to let it go off half-cocked.
So what do you think will be the outcome, Curtis?
Well, you know, I don't know. I have been told by very senior people that we're not going to get the Department of Administration this year.
You're not like going to get the Department of Administration?
That's right. And I don't like that. I think we need it. You know, I think we owe it to the taxpayers. Now, I'm not in the General Assembly, so I don't have a vote. But I do have some influence on the outside. And I stayed out of this battle for about 15 months and just got in it 2 weeks ago because I am worried we're not going to get it. So we're trying to put our faults in there. The people in the Senate and the General Assembly listen to us at the Treasurer's Office. So we're going to hope that we get some positive movement. But at the end, it's up to the Senate and the House. And what we've got to make sure is that we don't make change just for change's sake. We've got to make sure that the taxpayer gets a value.
Well, I know some of the people here that are in, what is it, in the Senate or in the House are kind of upset with you because you had been sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, I know. And the reason I was on the sidelines is because I think the General Assembly is the place where public policy is decided. When I was asked to come in and do something, we jumped at the chance, and we did. So I hope it'll work well. You know, there's a split of powers. I'm in the executive branch, the state treasurer, and the General Assembly decides these things. But when the Speaker of the House said, hey, we need your help, we were right there. And again, this doesn't sound like much. You know, if you're at home watching the kids right now, you're thinking this isn't a big deal. But we put our proposal in writing. You can go to my website, you can look at it, you can read it, and it makes sense. And that's what we try to do. People say, oh, Curtis, you got to go kill the board. They have not read the bill. And so it makes it difficult because there are good bills and there are bad bills. You know.
Is that kind of like the health care bill that Nancy Pelosi said we needed to pass it? And then find out about it later?
Yeah, kind of the same way. And so what we try to do is we're trying to lend our credibility. And I don't get involved in these kind of arguments. You know, I usually get to say with DOT or Patriots Point or Investment Commission. And, you know, we win these arguments over and over and over because we do our homework, we put it in writing, and we go out to the people. And that's a combination that wins for me every time. This one I don't have as much control over because the General Assembly is involved. But I do respect them, and I think if we give them the opportunity, they'll do the right thing. And we put out a really good and sound plan on the finance and pension side. And so let's just hope that works. I mean, I'm going to a reception tonight where they're all going to be there, and I'll be shaking hands and slapping backs and twisting arms. and we'll see. I'll get a good feeling tonight.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Now, Curtis, what is this about? You said that putting your office in charge of audit findings could save the state money and fix problems before they become a crisis.
Exactly right.
And
we do lots of audits here. I mean, we audit a lot of things. We have the state auditor. We have the Legislative Audit Council. The Budget Control Board can do some audits. And we have outside auditors that come in and do audits. The problem is there's not one person in state government that has the statutory responsibility or obligation to follow up on the audit. So say if the Department of Health and Human Services gets audited and there aren't proper cash controls and they need more CPAs, if somebody doesn't step in and make them do it, they don't have to do it. And so what we're saying is, all right, we'll take this job. It is a boring and mundane job. Nobody's going to want it but me. But I know the power of that. I've read these audits. Let me give you a graphic example. The Employment Security Commission in the year of 2000 had $850 million in the bank, in its trust fund. By the year 2008, all that money was gone. The trust fund was depleted. Then the stock market crashed, and people lost their jobs. So we needed that money more than ever. In the audit, every single year, it was saying, we don't have proper laws, we don't have proper controls, and we need help. At one point, even the executive director put a letter in there saying, I need help. There was nobody to help him. Had somebody, like the treasurer, gotten involved in the year, say, 2002, we would not owe $1 billion right now to the state government. The state of South Carolina owes that money, and a little bit more, about $1 billion, to the federal government for unemployment compensation over this last economic crisis time. So you see the difference? Had we followed up on the audit, had you had somebody who was responsible, you know, they hold me responsible then. They'll say, Curtis, why don't you fix this? We're going to throw you out of office. So this is what we're trying to do. If it's got to do with money I want to be responsible for it. If I do a good job, you vote for me, and if I do a bad job, you send me home.
Well, then, just out of curiosity, why did Governor Nikki Haley think that such authority to the treasurer is unnecessary and that that is part of a conflict and it conflicted with state law?
When did she say that?
Monday, April 16th.
Oh, I didn't know she said that. Well, I'm sorry she said that. We will have to have a talk. And she vetoed it last year.
Right.
And she had a problem about the language, and it had to do with the law. So Alan Wilson, the Attorney General, wrote it this year. If she vetoes it, I'll fight her on the floor, and I'll beat her, because I'll tell you, Ann, this is the issue. You can take the average person from Greenwood and explain it to them in 30 seconds, and they say, heck yeah, Curtis, you ought to be doing this. I'm not going to let politics stand in the way of saving people money. And this is boring work. This is not work that gets you in the headlines. This is not work that gets you reelected. This is not work that gets you campaign contributions. Other people do that. Other politicians spend their whole life raising money and advancing their career. I'm interested in saving the taxpayers' money. And this is boring work. It's mundane work, but it's important work. And I'll tell you, if she vetoes it, I'll be there on the floor working against her, because I'm going to get this bill through this time, because it's important for people like you and the plumber and the school teacher and everybody else in Greenwood.
Well, this was an article that was in the state paper Monday, and the last line says, Governor Nikki Haley vetoed a similar budget clause last year, saying giving such authority to the treasurer is unnecessary and that part of it conflicted with state law.
Yeah, well, we didn't agree then, but it was the first year. But this year, I can't predict the future, and I can't make this happen because I'm not in the General Assembly. But I can tell you this, last year where we didn't fight as hard because it was the brand new brand new proviso, I'm going to fight really hard for it this year. This is the kind of thing that I can go anywhere in this state and people get it. You know, a lot of politics is made complicated, and a lot of politicians make it complicated because they don't want you to know what they're doing.
Well, you know, one of the things that's coming very clear to me, it must be awfully hard to put together a large group of people coming from all different backgrounds to work on the different aspects of state government.
It is, but, you know, I don't have as much problem as most people, and I'll tell you why. It's the little combination I told you just now. We're going to do the right thing, and you can, whether it's DOT, it's the Investment Commission, we get our facts, and we put them out in writing so everybody can see. The people who fight us, and they never put anything in writing. They make it up as they go along. We get that all the time. Pardon my language, I am hell-bent on this public service. I'm not going to put 4 years of my life to do nothing. I'm not going to spend 4 years of my life worrying about going to a next office. You know, I've been retired since I was 40 years old. I got plenty to do. Save it. We are a poor state. We need to save our money, and I see it as a sin if we don't. Spend our money properly. I don't mean it's foolish. I don't mean it's silly. I mean it's a sin, as in the biblical sense. You know, you render unto Caesar what Caesar is due. But Caesar has obligations. We're Caesar. We got to spend your money like it's our money. And I'll tell you, that proviso will help the state save money in so many ways. I know that our time's up. I don't have ways to tell you, but I could list some of these audits for you that will just make you go crazy. And that's what we want to fight. We want to do that boring work. Nobody will ever know about our successes because nobody wants to hear about, you know, accounting. But this is where your money is.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it certainly is. Has been good to have you on the air. It's been a long time.
It has been too long.
And I certainly will look forward to see how the battle shapes up as the Budget and Control Board versus the Department of Administration. Will it go for 80% as you suggest, or will they go for the whole enchilada, or will they just drop it? It'll be an interesting fight coming up in the next few weeks.
That's right. We've got to serve the taxpayers. And I'll leave you this. I had a friend of mine coming in town from up north, and I had one day out of Columbia to take him. So where did I take him? I took him to Greenwood. Took him down there, rode him around, showed him. I had a good restaurant down there, and came back through the country, and he just thought it was a beautiful part of the world, and he'd never been there before, and he remembers it fondly.
Well, someday I hope we're going to get you up here in the studio where we can sit down and take call-ins.
I'll come back, sister. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Curtis Loftus, State Treasurer for South Carolina. Bye-bye.